In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Ia volavina bulavinaka ali talofa lava malo lele. Hello, geta kamna Māori. And welcome everyone to Nijan Footy Friday, the home of Pacifica footy news and stories in the Rugby League and Rugby Union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is my Cook Island koi, Tinirao Arona. Kia rana.
Kia rana, Sammy. Jeez, what a big week you've had so far.
Huge week.
The Moana Pacifica is here in Sydney, and you've managed to catch up with a few of the boys, have you, Sammy?
I have, man. There's been obviously a lot of news coming out of the Moana Pacifica camp, which we will get into. There's highs, there's lows, there's footy in between. There's plenty to get through around Moana Pacifica.
And we have a huge show here for you today on Nijan Footy Fridays. We will be catching up with our superstar, Sala Tongatuki, to cover all things NRL Round 7 this weekend. And then we have Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani reporting live from Fiji.
Is he in this week?
I hope he's in this week.
He replied back, so surely he's on.
What, just as we finished the show, he was ready to go last week.
He goes, I'm good to go, boys.
I'm like, hey, come on,
boy,
man.
Not Fijian time here.
But we'll review last night's NRL game where the Manly Seagulls took on the Cowboys up in Townsville, and then we'll go over a blockbuster of a game. The Broncos take on the Tigers. I'm looking forward to that one. We'll dive into that one with Sulla, and then round 10 in Super Rugby. But plenty of news across both codes to cover today on Nijan Footy Fridays.
Hi everyone, my name is Melvin Fonga and you are listening to Nijan
Footy.
Nijan Mystics.
That always makes me smile, that hearing Melehu Fanga's voice there. Nijan Mystics, what a band. But Rugby League last night, how good's Kieran Foran?
Mate, Fosball.
Fosball, is that what they're calling
it? The saviour. But round
the
seven.
The saviour.
Yeah, the saviour. Round seven kicked off last night. The Seagulls travelled up to Townsville and they quite dominantly put a show on, beating the Cowboys 38-6. They scored 6-1. 2 tries to Lehi Hopoate, one to Brendan Wakem. Taniela Paseka also got over, and then tries to Ben Trbojevic and Luke Brooks. Look, Lehi could have scored 3, but he ended up passing that third one to Fijian international Brendan Wakem to score a try.
Hey, just on that, what are your thoughts? Because I'm only asking that because on the way in, I think it was in commentary as well, they questioned in a way that I didn't like about why he passed it to Wakem.
Why Lehi Hopoate passed it to, yes, Brendan Wakem?
Yeah.
Well, I see Lehi, he scored 2 tries already. Now he's running open space. No one's around. Brendan's also running, hoping that he gets the ball just to get off the nudie run.
Put himself in the frame.
Scores his first try. Hopefully scores his first try for the season, and then he doesn't have to worry about getting off the nudie. And I won't lie, I did do it a couple times myself. And even my last try in professional rugby league
was gifted
to me by a good friend, Brad Takarangi, when we got flogged by the Tongan team. And I won't, Brad's face when he passed me that ball, he was disgusted. He didn't want to pass
it. He didn't want to do it, but
but he still did, knowing how much joy it would have gave me. And I even got a little celebration dance, shake the legs after to celebrate. But Brendan Wakem, he's there hoping to get off that nudie. And Lehi, as a Hopoate would, all Hopoates would have done the same thing. Off the cuff, hands the ball over for Brendan, his teammate.
Not being selfish.
To score a try.
Yeah, man, I didn't like the suggestions around him saying that
questioning,
yeah, questioning
his integrity.
Integrity here,
nah.
His character, saying anytime try score here. I was like, come on, bro, are we serious? Are we serious about this?
Yeah, nah, that's not.
I don't know if that's Tommy Turbo passing that. I don't think they're saying anything.
Yeah.
So I just want to put that to bed straight away, man. That's just Lehigh being unselfish and, man, teammates being happy that they're finally in the winner's circle scoring tries compared to the other weeks. So,
and it did not surprise me that Lehigh done that.
Yeah, exactly.
When he passed, like, oh, that's just something that he would do. And it wouldn't surprise me as well if it wasn't the first time he's done it. So
exactly. Now, anyway, let's get into the game.
We put that one to bed. Anyway, yep. 6 tries, 2-1, the Seagulls. We mentioned Kieran Foran. I just love the way that he has simplified the Manly Seagulls attack. And if you look at the first three rounds, even I commented saying, yeah, where's their forward pack? Why aren't they going forward? Their forwards are getting dominated. But it just seems like now they're playing very direct off the back of their pack. Their veteran halves are just going to work and getting border space. And that's why you're seeing them end up scoring 38 points. But it's all off the back of a simplified game plan where they're going through the front and then earning the right to shift the ball.
Yeah, because a few weeks ago, I'm asking you, is it the rule changes? Is that why their forwards are struggling? Are they too big for the game anymore? But clearly not. Hamole is killing it, and then Paseka, he was nice and direct. The only thing about Hamole, I don't think he should be kicking anymore.
Yeah,
did you see that air swing?
Yeah, he's lost his license. Probably when you get to that much, you're having that much joy and you've got that much confidence.
Very true.
I know that he was trying to kick it for Saab because that's left edge of them were starting to jam. So he tried to put it in, but yeah, unfortunately that just didn't work out for him. But in the post-match conference where Kieran Foran, he spoke about their medals going after the Cowboys' medals. Cowboys coming off a few big wins as well, knowing that they have to travel to Townsville and, you know, put the pressure on them. I think they've done a great job. Cowboys themselves, they 40% completion rate before halftime. Now, when you're giving over that much ball, when you're dropping that much ball, in this day and age with the new rule changes, it's hard to be able to recover from that and build any pressure or get any momentum.
Especially when you're the home side and you're so used to those conditions up there in Townsville. You know, it's wet, it's slippery. You're training in those every day where something like Manly's just come up and they've put on a clinic and held possession. So that's one thing you'd probably think that they'll be looking at. It's like, how do we not control possession when this is our home ground? We're used to it.
Speaking of the condition, yes, conditions. Jake Trbojevic, he mentions how... Yeah, how humid it was, and in the sheds there was aircon. Then they went out there, and it was slippery, humid. But putting my RLPA hat on, did you see the surface?
It kept ripping up.
Just choppy. Boys were slipping over. Big chunks. It was like you had the pitching wedge out and just like chunking.
It's like me on the golf
everywhere.
Course.
So I think that might be one to have a look at. But yeah, great win for the Manly Seagulls. But 3 from 3. Kieran Foran's probably thinking, how good's this? There was one big moment, and probably for Blues fans as well. Tom Trbojevic goes down with a hamstring injury, has to come off the field. Yeah, as rugby league fans right across our game, it's not a sight you like to see because he has been struggling with injuries. Hopefully it's not a major hamstring injury, but what they did have was depth in their back line.
Our Tongan man.
Their Tongan international, Tolu Taukola. Man, he just went out the back and owned that position. I thought he was unreal for the Seagulls, running for well over 200 metres. Was everywhere, diffused high kicks. I thought he was one of the players of the game.
That defensive effort too, to be able to cover at the back. But just on Tommy Turbo's injury, I'm no physio, no medical expert. Had a fair few hamstring strains in my time. The way he was limping after, like that's usually an indication of the severity of the injury. It didn't look good because he was still limping quite heavily, like in the sheds. So. To me, it doesn't look like a good one.
Yeah, and also that look on his face.
Yeah,
there was one moment.
There was one moment
where he's just looked up in the air and just gone, damn. Like,
yeah.
Just that frustration.
You know if it's a little pinch and you go, or just grabbed, and you'll know if like, oh, no, I felt something.
I have to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had those little ones where I can get through this one. Just give me some strappy tape, wrap it up. Yep, it's not going to go on me. But, yeah, it didn't look too good. But, anyways, you know, hoping that he returns quickly from that. But, you know, if he, they do have that backup in Tolu Taukola.
Next man up.
And they've also got Lehi Hopewate, who's been played fullback for the Manly Seagulls as well. After today's show tonight, we have the Raiders taking on the Storm. A lot of pressure for Melbourne Storm heading down to Canberra. What will that be if they do lose 5 in a row? They've done 4 in a row so far.
You got a desperate Raiders side as well.
Yeah.
So that's a tough one.
A big game to watch, though. The Panthers taking on the Dolphins right after that game tonight. And then tomorrow we kick off the Warriors taking on the Titans. The Rabbitohs take on the Dragons. Again, pressure on the Dragons to get their first win of the season. And I think the game for me is the West Tigers versus the Broncos tomorrow night. And then we wrap up the round on Sunday when the Roosters will take on the Knights and the Eels versus the Bulldogs.
Juicy games there. I know we'll cover the Tigers and Broncos with Sulla when she comes on. Out of those games, which one are you liking the most?
Which one to watch? Looking forward to watch. I think the West Tigers versus Broncos, just because of the form of the Tigers. We've also got Jerome Loi, who will be hopefully making his return. He's got a fitness test to clear. Taylor May as well.
Out of those games, who desperately needs a win? Outside of the Dragons.
Outside of the Dragons, I'm going to say, obviously, the Storm. Yeah, if they want to save their season, a big game in Canberra to take on the Raiders, I think that's the big one.
Do you know what gives me hope about the Storm? A couple of things. You know, we saw that spray that Craig Bellamy gave. Is it Joey Chan? Is that
Joe Chan?
Joe Chan. And we saw like how intense he is. But I heard him speak yesterday at his press conference, and he said, look, you know, today's generation, they're able to move on quick.
Yeah.
You know, so he understands the dynamic of, like, he can still be intense, he can still go at his players, but he understands this generation's a bit different. So it's not, in my eyes, when I heard that, it's not lingering. But as opposed to maybe the Dragons, I feel like this just intense the whole time. There's no let up and there's no way out of that because there's no alignment.
Let's go to the Dragons, and there's been some news this week around Loko Pasifika Tonga.
Yep.
You know, him asking for a release, or his agent asking for a release from his contract so they can explore other options outside of the Dragons. That's been declined from the Dragons, I believe.
That's allegedly what we've heard as well.
So what are your thoughts on probably more, let's talk about Loko the player. And, you know, the emotions and some of the thoughts that he would be going through, playing reserve grade, but seeing his first grade team not doing so well, and, you know, questions on why am I not getting picked?
As a player, you always want to hear clear communication, and it's the same messaging. So whether it's good or bad, you just want to hear clear, concise, consistent messages. And so what you don't want to hear is like, yeah, you're killing it, you're doing this in front of everyone, and then behind closed doors, something else is happening. So for me, there's a frustrated player here that's probably receiving different messages because, you know, he's a young kid. Of course you need to be patient. Of course you've got a long time in the game, and you just rock up and you control your preparation and your performance. But it is very hard when you're in a side that is losing, you've got a coach that's under the pump, you're probably getting told one thing, but you're also hearing another. So I think there's just a lot of frustration from him as a player around the messaging he's receiving.
So a bit of confusion.
Confusion there.
As a young player, and then who are the people around him that's giving him that advice on the near future of his career?
Yeah, exactly. Because then the first thing you do, if you're not getting those clear messages, what are you doing? You're picking up the phone to your managers like, oh man, this is what I'm hearing. Okay, let's see if I can get you out, because this team over here, when you've got how many teams in the comp?
17
with the Perth Bears
soon
coming
to be,
in. With
soon
the,
to be 19.
Yeah, and the PNG Chiefs coming in. Okay, if you don't see a future for him here, let's just cut ties now and he can look elsewhere. So,
and apparently he's absolutely killing it at New South Wales.
He's
like
a
New
big
South
boy.
Wales Cup.
Yeah.
In the reserve grade there. So running for, again, well over 200 metres, scored a try. A lot of those metres being post-contact metres. And he's probably thinking, looking at his team not doing so well, he's like, man, I can do a job.
I can add value. And if he's proving that at training, you know, when you do those contact sessions and you're getting over your opposite number and they're playing consistently, you're going, man, what else do I need to do here? So I guess there's a lot of frustration there from him.
Yep.
You'd know as a player too. You've been around. You've had Flano as a coach before. What do you think's going on in that young kid's head?
The answer for me, winning solves everything.
It does. Yeah, it does, bro.
And at
look
the moment,
at Manly.
And at the moment, the Dragons are losing, and there's going to be this is probably just one matter of many matters within four walls at the moment. So all they need to do is just start winging. They need to start winning.
Winging it.
Don't start winging it. Actually, maybe start winging it.
Yeah.
But I do feel for Loko Pasifiki Tonga because he's just probably confused. And
he needs the right people around him just to make sure.
Just to guide him. And
control your preparation, control your performance.
Long term, you worry about the things you can control.
Absolutely.
He'll do all right. Now, remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. Now it's time for our rugby union.
Tāra whalawa, it's Miracle Whailangi here, and I'm listening to Nizian Footy.
Sammy, a lot going on this weekend, the rugby code. Talk to me. Where do we start?
We just heard from our man there, Miracle Whailangi. There needs to be a miracle for Moana Pacifica. Sad news throughout the week that the ownership for Moana Pacifica are going to be stepping away, and it's leaving their future in doubt, and it's like reportedly pretty much that there'll be no Moana Pacifica for 2027.
Is it privately owned?
Privately owned.
So the investors or the owners are now moving away. So there wasn't no long-term agreements on their investment, or can they just wrap it up whenever they want?
Do you know what? This is why I'm actually glad you're on here. You're in the know with the expansions around NRL. When they have those discussions around when a new team comes in, like what happens to ensure that there's probably long-term success? Not necessarily the success where they're going to win a trophy, but just long-term success of actually staying in the competition.
Now, I could probably only imagine that when a club is struggling, and I don't know the details of that process, you know, their participation or membership fee to become a NRL club underneath the NRL banner, and you're now a member of the NRL. But what I would think is that if there was a club that was struggling that bad that they were going to pull themselves out, I reckon the NRL would chip in and help them get back on their feet for the look of the game, for the quality of our game. And I think maybe Super Rugby or whoever the Moana Pacifica is a member of probably just doesn't have that support.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So the competition integrity, I think, with Super Rugby has gone out the window here, because it's not just Moana Pacific at this stage. I was a part of the Western Force but I left to Japan, but it was only a year later when they got kicked out of the competition. We've seen it with the Melbourne Rebels. We've seen it with the Sunwolves. We've seen it with the Argentinian side, the Jaguares. And now, South Africa was probably a different boat with their teams moving into a new competition. But now we're seeing it with Moana Pacifica. So at the end of the day, Super Rugby's got to give...
It's not a good look.
It's not a good look. And Super Rugby's the one that's got to give that license and the okay. So if they're going into it, go, okay, what does this look like 10, 15, 20 years down the track? How are you going to stay afloat without our input?
Yeah, and if your team isn't going to win and things look bad, worst case scenario, what does that look like? Is it sustainable?
Exactly. So you look at the PNG Chiefs, obviously they're coming in because there's investment from government, there's investment from the game itself. Like, there's plenty of money there to ensure that this side is going to be competitive.
And there's a lot of work happening behind the scenes, making sure that the standard is at a high level so that when they do enter the competition, it is sustainable.
Yeah, and there's a stadium there. There's a village there where they're all going to be living and all of that. Whereas Moana Pacifica don't even have a home base. Oh, in Auckland, oh yeah, you can go out of here. Oh, no, now you're out at North Harbour Stadium. So they had no settled home. So that's always going to be hard to sell tickets and build a fan base. You're
bit
in
of a bit of a gypsy club.
Yeah, it is. And I think they were hoping that potentially they could either be based out of Samoa at some point. Tonga probably not so much. They don't have the infrastructure. But it's just such sad news that we've come to this point. And when I look at Moana Pacifica, and I said it the other day on radio on Nija Daily, that like guys like Miracle Failangi, being able to go from the village to the stadiums, to the big stage. Like, that's the opportunity. That's the pathway. And I look at how aggressive rugby league is with their investment in the Pacific. We don't have a side like Moana Pacifica in this competition. We may as well just let rugby league just go in there and go, mate, you know what, take over. Get another side in there that's going to be from the Pacific, because I feel like they'll just do a better job in setting up everything on the island for it to be successful in a competition.
Do you think it's, you mentioned those other clubs, now we're talking about Moana Pacifica, do you think it's the game giving up on them? In a way, it's like...
Yeah, it feels that way.
It's too much.
It's too hard basket. And too hard. The easiest option.
Too much.
Yeah, the easiest option is to get rid of
much.
It. So we're going to go back to Super 10. Super 10 was around when it first started. So there used to be 15 sides in this competition, and now we're going to go back to 10.
So now let's think of answers. How do we solve the problem? If those investors, those owners are now walking away, how do we continue to keep? What's the answer?
I got to interview your cousin, Lima Sopwanga.
Oh, he's been vocal.
He's been vocal. He broke it first, and he was vocal about that too, that he was in the know.
And he's trying to get all the big dogs on the wave.
Well, I asked him, man, how much did you earn in Japan, Kaz? Are you good for it? Are those pockets deep? And he goes, nah, these are Timu pockets, brother. But I go, okay, well, like in this day and age, and knowing the fabric of Moana, what do they bring to an audience? Now, what's something out the gate that you were doing? He goes, bro, we've got to do a Wrexham 2.0. You know the Welcome to Wrexham, that soccer Netflix documentary where Ryan Reynolds, the actor, they bought this team. They've brought him from like Z division, and they're nearly going to go into the Premier League. That he goes, we've got to get content around this. We've got to like think outside the box, and how do you draw attention and an audience and eyeballs to then convert that into revenue?
They've already got the intro of that movie or that doco, because the success that and the wave that the Moana Pacifica had last year, and then you just go, so they were at the highest of highs. Now they're pretty much
lowest of lows. Well, they're not going to be here, so it is the lowest of lows.
And that's the intro. The storyline now is like, okay, how do we come back out of the dip?
Yeah, so that's what he was saying. I was like, man, that is honestly a great idea, because talking to their media manager, Matt Manukia, he was saying that like from their socials and from the data that you get around audience and attention, Moana Pacifica is like almost number one there. And you just even think like in the lowest of the lowest points of their history, when they've been told that they potentially won't be here for 2027, who comes into their change room and starts singing?
Just the Toffee.
He comes in there and just lifts the mood, lifts the spirits. I'm hearing that that the players want to do like billboards outside and just, hey, sponsor us. Come on, Rock. Come on, Jason Momoa. Can you sponsor us? You know, just around, just to do something different and keep this team alive, because we need Moana Pacifica. Like, put everything aside around business and stuff like that. There's plenty of people that can make this work.
Imagine doing not a GoFundMe, but a like a shares, and people could buy shares.
Do you know the Western
shares,
Force did that?
Can buy shares to
the
company?
Yeah, they bought shares. So on that was one of the strategies.
How many
strategies.
Shares did you get in your contract when you signed for the Force? Did you buy some?
I bought some. I just gave my contract money back. I don't deserve this. I'm not playing well enough. Save you 20 grand here. The Force went down that model, but when they didn't get when they didn't stay in the competition, everyone just got their refund back on those shares. But that is a possibility. So I don't know what the return on investment and how you get your money back if they start making a profit, but there has to be something. Look, there's plenty of governing bodies. We've got Super Rugby, World Rugby, SANZA, Oceania, Pacific Oz Sport, DFAT. There's plenty of entities out there that just, man, just put a lazy meal in each. Just a lazy meal.
Just a lazy meal, you reckon?
Just a lazy meal, I reckon. All right. No, but just help our team
you
out,
lead,
boys.
You and Lima lead the way,
yeah,
mate.
Okay, sweet as.
Because I know what's going to happen once that folds.
I shouldn't have bought the Pilates studio. I should have bought Moana.
NRL's coming straight in there going, all right, talent, come
Moana
on over.
Pacifica is now the 21st team in the NRL.
Miracle Failangi is now playing rugby league.
Okay, so we took up all our time on talking about that, but they are playing the Waratahs tonight. So get out there in numbers tonight. Support Moana Pacifica. Make some noise. And let's keep this team in the competition. So that's my two cents.
If you give me a jersey, I'll come out.
Didn't I give you a jersey?
A Moana jersey.
Moana jersey.
I'll come out and watch it on Stan.
You're not going anywhere, boy. You're not getting off your couch to watch a rugby game.
Nah, I'm not
I know
doing
that's
it.
For sure. But look, that's us until we get to Nemani Kurundrani or Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani for more rugby. But let's get to Sala Tonga Tuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tonga Tuki!
With Sala Tonga Tuki.
It's time to hear from our NRLW superstar. She represents the West Tigers, plays for the Blues, New South Wales, the Jillaroos, and also represented the Fetu Samoa, Sala Tonga Tuki. Sala, happy Friday. How are you?
Happy Friday. Good morning, boys. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yourself?
All good. We just done a bit of a wrap-up over League and
Plenty
Union.
Plenty happening in Union for once.
Yeah,
so
a bit to talk about with the Moana Pacifica team. And have you got any money to invest in the Moana?
Yeah, I'm just doing a bit of a GoFundMe. But it's got to go to my account first before I give it to Moana. So spare dollar.
How's that savings?
Dodgy.
No, it's not. No, you're renoing a house, so you won't have any money. So that's all good. Sala, we had your head of pathways from the Tigers on. Big Tongan Davey. Tongan Davey on with us.
Oh, my days. He
shed some stories about you. All good. He said you're a massive leader.
He was telling me, you still were stirring me up on that.
No, but someone like him.
Ah, jokes.
How important has he been for the West Tigers around the pathway set up and the female space at the Tigers?
Dave's been great. Honestly, he's been a pathways for a long time though. So, and he's been to the Warriors. We've seen what their pathways have looked like as well. It's heaps good. I feel like he's the glue for us in that pathways perspective, only because he actually holds his ground. Like, he sets the standards in that and he follows through with it. So I know with someone like him that comes from a proud Polynesian background, but when you've got the likes of coaches that also come from those backgrounds, it sort of goes into that people pleasing kind of role. But whereas Dave's different, he actually says no or yes. But he also brings healthy ideas and that in how we can go forward so everyone's happy. So I feel like he's been so good for, the women's space. And it's why Sandy's trusted him with the role that he's got today. So,
yes.
Yeah, he's so good.
Hey, Sala, last night we kicked off round 7 in the NRL and we've got a few huge games over the weekend. I'm only assuming that the Tigers versus Broncos would be the one that you're looking forward to watching.
Oh, massive, yeah. I'm working that game for that reason because I know it's going to be a sellout one as well. And the vibes, what the boys have started creating at the stadium there, yeah, the sold-out crowds, momentum behind them, I feel like they're building something really special there. So, yeah, I'm excited for that game, especially Broncos. I've heard Broncos fans, they don't really get games. There's so many of them that actually live out southwest. So I spoke with our membership team. They look after the ticketings and they normally have this process where sometimes internal tickets can be done for staff, but we didn't get that this week only because it was already near the sold out number.
How good's that? How good's winning? How good's winning? Everyone wins when the team wins.
So this game's been played in Campbelltown, southwest of Sydney, and saying yes, there would be a lot of Pacifica community out in the southwest of Sydney and a lot of Brisbane Broncos fans also. So it doesn't surprise me that it is going to be a sellout. Who are you looking forward to watching in this game?
Oh, there's so much in this game. I'm looking at the game. One of the biggest talking points is the return of Romy, Jerome Luai at six. obviously he's a marquee player and co-captain, but I feel like it's only right he comes back in. And probably a credit to Jock Madden. He's done a great job while Lua has been out. But, yeah, the team's built some strong combinations in his absence. So I feel like it's all about finding that rhythm again with him back. But, hey, like, having Madden on the bench now is a positive, though. It gives another, like, genuine game manager who can come on and control things if needed. But that's probably a good headache for Benji. But I feel like another big one in for this game is Taylor May. He returns from injury, but I like that Patrick Herbert's kept his spot after debuting last week for the club. So I feel like that shows the standards of what our club's at right now too. But from a Nigerian lens, there's some great matchups. Like Katoni Staggs is a big one for me with the just he's so powerful. He's a strong runner of the ball, but yeah, out wide, like you've got him up against May, which will be a great game to watch. But yeah, also our finishers in the wings, Sunia Turuva and Dane Mariner. Both can turn half chances into points. So I feel like at the back of that, Remy's, he's been unreal for me. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Like he really looks like the glue of that Tiger spine, the way he moves, supports and gives confidence to the group and lifts everyone around him. So yeah, but for Brisbane, I've got Jesse Arthur stepping in that fullback. I got that was interesting for me. He's got speed and footwork, so yeah. He's more of an edge player that when I watch him play, but you can expect him to pop up around a ruck and create opportunities. And the last one for me is Xavier Willison at lock. Obviously, it's an important role in the middles, but he's a big body. He's got movement at the line. And I know he can definitely generate quick play of the balls. I always watch the way he plays, especially off the back of guys like Payne Haas. So yeah, I feel like Brisbane are coming off a tough loss, so they'll be hungry. But Tigers are home. Like I said, there's momentum behind them, and hopefully we're still breaking the curse at that stadium. So, yeah, I feel like that's the difference this year.
Yeah, I hope so as well.
The curse is broken.
It has. It definitely has.
Yeah.
Sully, you said standards. Every team has their standards and values. What's one of the key standards the Tigers are living by now compared to last year?
Family.
Family?
Families, yeah.
And what do you mean by that, like with family? Like a family in and around the club more, or is it like a family vibe? Like how would you explain that?
Yeah, literally, yes. And I think it starts internally, like from the coach, Benji. I've seen him make so much like time and put in effort. Like normally you see coaches are starting to wander off and, you know, players will be the last in the sheds, obviously because they're recovering and sharing and families are outside waiting. But Benji also comes out last now with those players purely because he actually gets around to all the families. And I've started seeing players of their families, partners and that, post photos with Benji and that. And that's just the guy Benji is. I know that he's creating his own thing with the club, but even just with us, I work in a community space and we've had to work with all departments at the club to give a family experience every game that we host. So after we try and get the families on the field for a photo, but we also bring and we organise like a waiting area, but more so not make it feel like a waiting area. You know, we make it family orientated for them and we just, yeah, get all of them just mingling with each other, get to know each other. So family's been big. I think it's what the players have come forward with and it's just all about actioning that. So that's definitely one of the family values. We're trying to hold the standards to that. So, yeah, happy family, happy players.
Yeah, no, it makes so much sense when you think of the makeup of the Tigers. I'd say, T, you said it last week, that the Tigers would probably have the most Pacific Islanders and Māori representation in their team. So if it's important to the players, you know, if that's what they want, well, it's got to be important to the club as well. Like something as simple as that is a big difference.
Do you know what a family of Tigers are called?
Oh, I was wondering what you were doing on your phone.
It's called a streak.
A streak?
A streak. So a family of Tigers is usually called a streak.
And are they on a winning streak?
Or sometimes an ambush of Tigers.
No way.
So There you go.
And the Tigers are on a streak, aren't they?
Yeah,
shut the gates.
My fun fact for
you,
Sala.
They're going to the grand final, undefeated champions, the Tigers.
But I also love, yeah, when you talk about Benji and the environment he's creating, he's also holding a standard. And one thing I've noticed with the team that he selected, yes, Jerome Loi has been, you know, as a co-captain, he is the starting six. But what he's done is put Jock Madden as 14 on the bench, and that's actually shuffled over Latu Fainu to the extended bench, whereas Latu held that 14 position. So Jock Madden earning that right and earning his you know, playing well, Benji's then gone, okay, you now have your spot in the, on the interchange. Same as for Taylor May, he now comes back. Luke Lauli'i, he's been unreal for the Tigers for the last few games, but he's now been pushed out.
And do you know what's cool about that? Hearing the commentary from some of the comments from Fainu, he goes, I'll do anything for this team.
Yeah.
Like, he's not kicking stones. Yes. Like, he understands it is team first, and this is my role that I need to play for this week.
So it's holding the standard, but also having the respect from the playing group.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you know what? Speaking, while we're on that, like, Romy has done the same thing. So in one of his interviews, he pretty much said, like, to Benji, bro, I'll even, you know, be 14 or whatever, like, just to keep the winning, like the combination going, like what's best for the team. It's, you're definitely right, boys, on the team first mentality. But that's Benji. He said it time and over again that the next man comes in and does his job, and that's all you can expect. And he's been very fair and rewarding. And he does this review thing where he gets the players to rate themselves, but him and his staff and that will rate them as well, and will give them the number and obviously asks for reasons if they're, but I don't think any player has rated
that brings
higher.
Back bad memories. Yeah. That brings back bad memories. Well, I've done that process before, and there's nothing worse when someone gives himself a 6, 7, 8 or something. Or we'll go 8 here, and the coach goes, "Mate, you're a 5 out there. You are dreaming," and it's like a lead balloon goes off in the room. Bad memories. Sorry. Anyway, but the Tigers are on fire. Yep. They're all 8s.
There you have it. The streak of Tigers heading to Campbelltown.
Ambush.
And, yeah, the Broncos have a tough game ahead of them. But who are you taking to win this one? Broncos?
Tigers.
What about you, Sammy?
You know what? You know, 12 months ago, you're choosing every team to get your tipping right against the Tigers.
Yeah.
What a difference 12 months makes. So, I'm going with your fun fact with the streak and an ambush. That's what's going to be happening. Tiger Town. Claws are out.
What's up, boys?
Too easy, Sala. No, we appreciate your time and thank you for your inputs on Knees and Footy Fridays, and we will see you next Friday.
Thanks, Sala. Take care.
Love. The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurundrani.
Yes, our big man Nemani Nandolo Kurundrani, he is here today. Thankfully, he made it. He's not on Fiji time.
He
made time for us, our former flying Fijian, who is back living in Fiji, and he is now part of the Drua coaching staff. We missed him last week. I had to fill the gap there. I don't think I did a good job because the people wanted the man.
That's all right. We'll leave the past in the past.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. He's here now. Nems Zolabras.
Zola, boys. Oh, what a cracker. I'm laughing about it now. But last week when I was actually driving, so I actually missed and I did promise. But there were nice messages. None of you replied back on the WhatsApp, so I knew you guys were pissed off. So sorry, lads.
Oh, we didn't reply.
I'm 5 minutes late, but I made it.
Oi, the amount of, you know, when you go through a WhatsApp chat and it's a message from me, message from producer, message from T, message from me, message from, like, it goes me, producer T, me, producer T. Crickets from you.
Because he wears too many hats.
Too many hats, man. You got to
coaching. You got to consolidate, bro. He's speaking at conferences and gigs in front of thousands of people.
Thousands.
Not too sure what he's talking about, but he's talking about something.
I'm hearing. This is what I'm hearing. After Easter, he is the chosen one. That's the savior. But anyway, Nems, it is great to have you on today. Firstly, we'll just go straight into it. We did speak about Minor Pacifica. Huge news during the week. Not only that Josh Dodofi there was singing Oana, how good's that, but the news that they potentially, and it's highly likely that they won't be in Super Rugby next year. What was your initial thoughts on this one?
Yeah, well, first of all, disappointing. It's disappointing to see that they're going to fall, but in some way, like I just don't feel it was reported well. And I know Moana is run by New Zealand Rugby and maybe New Zealand government. And I think this is where people need to understand. Fiji Drua have had support from DFACT over the years. So they're, you know, with that introduction, hence why it's sort of gone well. And obviously that's finished now. But yeah, I don't know. I just think it wasn't the way they played in North Harbour, you know, compared to something like South Auckland. I just think, you know, as much as there's support and love there, it wasn't set up properly. I wouldn't say it was run. It wasn't set up properly.
Yeah, the strategy going in the initial plans probably wasn't done long-term with the long-term plan. But, you know, we've had a chat about it earlier, and, you know, there's been some social media noise around, you know, are there answers? Is there any support? You know, Lima Sopoanga leading the charge. But, you know, in your view, if there was to be some kind of saviour, what is the answer to hopefully keeping Moana Pacifica in the Super Rugby?
Well, I guess from a business point of view, if you're going to get someone to save it, I think they're talking about it, what, being $9 million or something. They need to sort of keep it afloat and whatnot. I would, first of all, take it to a place where you are going to get a lot of love, or, you know, like, first of all, change the location. At the moment, like I said, they're playing all their games out of North Harbour. I would try and get a lot of games. Like, try and get games here in the islands as well. Now, they promised Samoa and Tonga that they were going to go there, and I get it, you know, infrastructure and all that stuff. But they would have known about that, you know what I mean? And I think they got to put in a proper strategic plan for it to be successful or for it to just be running, you know. And I think the support's there. Maybe put it in a place like Tonga and Samoa. Because, yes, maybe the grounds, you know, the infrastructure isn't there, but I know there's, like, you've got, as in stadium-wise, you play afternoon games like we do here, you know, but they said that about the Fiji. They said that about Fiji, and Drew has been doing really well. So I would love to see it, first of all, privatised. I think it's with New Zealand Rugby. It runs under New Zealand Rugby, right?
No, so it was, but then now it went to private ownership, and now the private ownership is now pulled away. You're right, with the drill, with the setup, it's got, like, government funding, it's got sponsorship, it's got ticket sales because they're in location. But you are right in the fact that it is hard where they are. I think Western Sydney, I'm telling you now, Campbelltown or Penrith, that would be unreal for them to be based here. But then waiting for, I think Samoa would probably be a really good location for them to play at.
How much of a statement would it be if someone like Russell Crowe bought the franchise?
Everyone's tagging The Rock.
And then they go and make this big docker about it. We spoke about it earlier.
Yes.
And
well, you know that there's a $150 million grant with Samoa and Tongan Rugby coming up, right, with this DFACT. Could be a great opportunity to fund these, like what they've done to the Fiji Drua. Have it out at West Sydney in Penrith, Parramatta. You know, it's similar to what they're doing with the PNG and what they did with the Fiji Drua. You know, there's a lot of money getting, I don't know if you guys know around, there was $150 million. Get DFACT involved. Get them there to West Sydney, in and Samoa. The flights aren't as far. You know what I mean?
There's a perfect halfway system for the players that don't go into rugby league. There's a lot of boys out there.
And especially not just rugby league, who are missing out of the Waratahs. So there'll be like a genuine rivalry between crosstown. I think it could be set up. It's ready to go. The infrastructure's there. The head coach is here. In the studio.
The footy manager is right here.
You're talking about Phil?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, sorry, mate. I just had to say that. But, like, also you've got someone like West Sydney Two Blues who could play feeder.
Yeah.
Then you can get guys from Samoa and Tonga, genuine guys out of the islands, mix them with West Sydney. There is so much talent in West Sydney. Like, the Tars don't want them. That's fine. You create a team out there, and it's a team for West Sydney. What's West Sydney known for? Islanders, Polynesians, Melanesians. That'll just boost the rugby in the West. You'll have leagues, even if they don't play, they'll be supporting it because it's, you know, and as we all know, DFACT and their commitment to the South Pacific has been immense over the last few years, and it's only going to get bigger. So it just sort of makes sense for them to move out of New Zealand. And New Zealand, to be fair, is small. Like, it is small, and with everyone moving out of there and, you know, the economy not where they want it to be,
I can picture Artie Savia living next door to Nathan Cleary out in Penrith.
I can picture my first target being Isaiah Katoa.
Oh, okay. Can you imagine that?
Come back. Go to Union. You can go back home.
Boys, we're speaking too much sense here. Who are we?
But honest question, you guys living there, do you honestly think, like, because we said this when the Moana was in Auckland and stuff, and you know, we saw the crowds and wasn't as what we expected. Do you honestly feel that if they came to West Sydney, they'd get the support?
Absolutely.
Being a league, absolutely. Being a league town?
I think so. We just saw when Artie was playing for Wanda Pacifica, there were leagueies jumping on the social media bandwagon, you know, commenting, sharing, getting amongst it. Yeah. That's what you'll get here. I think there'll be so much support there, especially if you get the right players in. And then if you've got a Isaiah Katoa come in, like, you know, as a marquee signing, you 100% get the support. And if they structure it right, I'm on that. How do I? We're starting it here. The campaign is here. Moana Pacific to Western Sydney.
What's the stadium? Home ground.
Home ground. You can still play at CommBank. You can still play at the new Penrith Stadium because Penrith don't own that stadium, so they won't have exclusive rights.
He's speaking sense here, yes.
So, like, there's plenty of options. Campbelltown, Harlequins, that little hub there. Just do the turf, have the hill, open it up. Like, make it a real den when people come in. It'll be a hard place to play.
Penrith Stadium.
Yeah, but Penrith would be the one for me.
Could you imagine? Fiji, Drua, Moana Pacifica, Campbelltown Stadium or CommBank Stadium. You reckon that'll be packed out?
No. Oh, it's a no-brainer. Especially with the influence.
You've got the food trucks. You've got the performers.
That's how you do it. They're all out there.
Everyone wins. It's
food,
a community
family,
day.
Faith and footy would all be at the one venue.
And they'll be singing the whole game.
Oh, it's a promoter's dream. Anyway, boys, I don't know who we are at the moment. You're talking about business. You're talking politics, Nems. We're speaking sense. Yeah, we got to get to the Fijian Drua side of things before we wrap you up here, Nems. Big news out of the Drua as well. Coaching staff changing. Not only the head coach, but the assistant as well.
Yeah, well, funny thing.
You're the coach.
I've been away this whole week. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Jacko moving on this season and Sambo signing with Edinburgh. I haven't had a chance to speak to him. So they flew out to Canberra yesterday. So I came back into work this morning. But, you know, first of all, great for Sambo, get another opportunity. As you know, it's like playing, right? But, man, it's crazy. Two coaches leaving. But I think, you know, the boys are from all accords bound together and, you know, they want to sort of play well and leave the season on a high, particularly with Jacko. Jacko's been here from the start of it. And, you know, I've got to say these two men have put their heart and soul into the squad, into the club. You know, people don't understand, and, you know, it breaks me when they get bagged in the media and social media and Facebook and stuff. But, you know, I thought playing was hard, but coaching is one thing. And just to see these guys come in 5 a.m, they're not out of here. You know, they leave. They're the first to come in, the first to leave. And, you know, and obviously results not going their way, it can be hard on them. And, you know, I've got so much respect for them.
No, you're not wrong. Their job for these early years was set up the foundations, set up professionalism, set up habits. And that's what their role was. And they've done that, and they'll be able to leave it in a better place for the next person to come in and do a job. But before we finish up, who is the ideal candidate in your eyes to lead the Drua moving forward?
We're speaking to him.
Outside of yourself. You've got too many hats on. You know how hard it is to coach. You can't wear all those hats and then be a head coach.
Yeah, no, I like my hats at the moment.
I like my hats.
I'll have to give up this hat, but no, not going to happen. Oh, there's heaps of names out there, eh? Like, that's the million-dollar question. You know, there's heaps of candidates. We've got, obviously, we've got Chris Gibbs here, who's assistant coach at the moment, head coach. He's been got a tremendous coaching resume. We've also got Greg Fleming, who's been here for years. So, you know, there's two there. Then, you know, you've got Joe Rokozoko, who is currently coaching in Racing Metro. He's
Smoking Joe could be an option.
He's one. Then you've got guys like Graham Dews, who's the assistant coach. There's so many names. Scott Robinson, maybe.
Razor.
But there's not much surf here in Nundy, so I'm not sure if he'll like it.
I'm sure there's a boat off the mainland that he would find his way off there.
Yeah, I'm sure I've got some connections there. I might be able to get him a boat to get over there.
there's another hat.
No, but mate, that's a thing. You know, it's funny now being a coach, and you know, being a player. When a coach leaves or gets moved on, you're sort of like, oh yeah, my job's safe. But now being on this side, man, when that sort of happens and guys are moving on and stuff, it's a different feeling. Man, even you're like, you know, you're nervous. I mean, I'm not a senior coach, but it's crazy to experience that side of, you know, being on that side of the fence.
Nems, It's the house of cards, you know what I mean? Or
exactly right, mate.
You know what I mean? But lucky, this is where all your hats come into play. One hat's gone, sweet, I've got seven others. I'm good. I'm not relying on it. So, yeah, smart man over here, Nems. Smart man. But, hey, Nems, it is great to have you on. You are looking sharp. You're looking good. You look happy. You're glowing. And I'm glad we've got you on. So, yep, you can hand your invoice in for this week because someone told me you handed it in for last week. And when you I put an extra bit on my one. I put it on mine because I had to do your job last week. So, anyway.
When you couldn't do it, I was like, damn it, it's $200 in my
Oh, good. All right,
I don't know if I meant to say that, but yeah.
Yeah, you're probably not. But anyway, oh, good. All right, take care, brother. We'll check in with you next week.
Boys.
Appreciate it.
Enjoy.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Knockout.
Lock and smoke. Come on.
Bro, I'm sick of rumbling. Produce I'm not ready to field. Rumble. I'm ready to lock and smoke.
We've changed the game. Get it over in Dunworth.
Come on, man.
Give
you've
us some
had,
new audio.
You only had like 3 months.
Anyway, every Friday we
you
get
to
lock.
You can't get the buttons right. Oh, sorry. We're still. No, I'm joking.
Every Friday we pick two teams, a lock-in and a smoky, and we keep a score. At the end of the year, the winner has to buy the loser a full course, three-course meal. Full course, three-course, full-course
meal. Full-course, just a full-course meal.
Full-course meal. The scores are 4-4. We both got one right last week. We got the smoker, so you got...
Yeah, I went the drawer last week
for
my lock.
You went the drawer,
lock.
And
yes.
I went the force, and the drawer winning that one. So,
and thanks to the Dragons, I had no chance for that one on my smoke, but that's all good.
Nah.
That's
all we good. Should go them again this week.
Nah, negative. Well, I'm done.
What are we going to start with? Lock?
My lock. You know what? Because they need... all the positivity in the world right now, and they need this win. Josh Dottoffi sung midweek to keep the spirits high. Patrick Pellegrini's playing in front of all of his family for the very first time. He's starting in the 10 jersey. So my lock is the Waratahs. No, I'm joking. My lock is the Moana Pacifica.
You know what, mate? You know when... Ooh! Some audio there.
Finally got the buttons
okay.
right. How good.
So that's... I know that feeling when you're emotionally attached and you've been involved with the Moana this week.
Sometimes it works against you a
lot. So you're just thinking, oh man, these guys are on.
They're on.
Because they're giving you that energy.
They're giving it to me. I'm feeling it.
But sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
Love doesn't always pay you back.
Anyways, my lock-in will be the Tars.
It's a smoker.
No.
Oh.
It's a lock.
It's a lock, Lord.
It's a lock. My lock's going to beat your lock.
That's a new one. It's a loco.
Loco.
Oh, loco. Whatever.
Oh,
that's
loco,
crazy. See?
Tonga.
That's
oh.
crazy. That's what it comes down to. So we've got a smoko and a loco.
Okay.
Yeah, Simon Carana.
So my like smoko. Who's your smoko?
My smoko is
smoky,
the Titans.
Smoky.
My smoky is the Titans against the Warriors.
Oh, that is a tough one. Hey, Smokey.
He's come ready. He told us to bag him up for no reason. Phil, on the money today. Good
I like
job.
It. Titans to beat the Warriors for your Smokey, and I'm going to go. This is a tough one, but I think Dolphins versus the Panthers. Ooh. I'll take the Dolphins as
in
my Smokey.
In the heat in Darwin.
Because I just think the Panthers might have got a little bit exposed there last week with the Bulldogs. Peppering that left edge defense of the Panthers.
Oh, so
and we're
the
going,
blueprint.
Who's the right side back rower for? Anyway, Dolphins.
Matter.
We're going
matter.
Dolphins.
That's before we finish up, I just want to say, because I just want this in here for socials. That's why I want to do it right now. The difference between winning and losing. Have you seen the Waratahs training compared to the Hurricanes training? Someone's at the top. Someone's trying to find a win. Did you see it?
You showed me.
I showed you. Don't ruin my buzz and surprise. They
don't worry about
I...
your social media clip, man. Don't worry about your social media clip.
Let's finish the show.
I'm hungry.
Get out of here.
I'm hungry.
That's our time up, is it, T?
That's our time up. Tell your mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite.
Up the Moana.
Yes, Moana. Get after it.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.